The Word of God to which we direct our attention this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, we'll read verses 1 through 17. Isaiah 49, beginning at verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north, and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. As far we read the Word of God, the text that we consider especially is verse 16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. Beloved in Christ, these words of our text spoken by Jehovah, our God, were words that provided comfort for Old Testament Zion, for the Old Testament church and people of God. And they provided words of comfort to them. God provided words of comfort to them at a time when they were sorely in need of that comfort. The prophet Isaiah had been sent by God to bring sharp rebukes against the nation of Judah for sin. And the prophet Isaiah, in bringing rebukes against them for sin, had also prophesied to them of their captivity, the judgment of God that would come upon them as a nation on account of their sin. The faithful remnant in the nation of Israel, of Judah, was troubled by this. What will become of us? Question. What will happen to us and to our children if this is what God will bring upon us as His people and church? To them came these reassuring words from God. I will remember you. I will not forget you, because I have engraven your names on the palms of my hand. God spoke these words in order to comfort His church. And not only with the purpose of comforting them, but in order to actually comfort their soul, as mentioned in verse 13, the Lord hath comforted His people. The Lord hath comforted them. So these are also the words of our God, the New Testament Zion. New Testament church and people of God. The words of God to His church today. Words of God to you and to me this morning. The church needs comfort. The church needs comfort always because the church lives in a world of wickedness. The church needs comfort always because the members of the church suffer and are troubled on every side and afflicted. And the church needs comfort. You could say our churches need comfort because there are many troubles in the churches. And we may sometimes wonder, as Judah did, what will become of us and our children? What will become of the church in the future? God speaks to us as He did to the Old Testament church and says, I will not forget thee. I have engraven thy names on the palms of my hand. And I will comfort thee. I will. Let's consider then this text under the theme, Zion engraved on Jehovah's hand. And notice three things concerning that Zion is surely remembered, that Zion is carefully protected, and that Zion is greatly comforted. Our text, beloved, uses figurative language. We are engraved on the palms of the hands of God. That, of course, is not something that can be literally true, because God is spirit. the Word of God describes that as being the case in order to give us that picture of something that God remembers. We are remembered by God. If you plan to remember something or someone, then you will have something close by in order to remember them by. To remember that thing by, that's even pointed out in Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God gives the command to His people to remember His law and says to them in Deuteronomy 6 verse 9, in order that you might remember My law and that you might remember My law every day, this is what you must do with it. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gate, something that you will see every day, so you never forget it. Maybe you do that with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or wife or your children or even your parents. Carry a picture with you so you never forget that. Or you're married and you wear a ring so you never forget your spouse. And God says that that is what God has done with His church and with His people. Our names are close to Him. Our names are on the palms of the hands of Almighty God. The name of His church is there. The name of the body and the bride of Christ is written on the palms of the hands of God, and all her members are written there. A very personal thing. Think of that. God has your name. Your name. One of His people, written on the palms of His hand. And not simply written in ink, but engraved in the palms of the hands of God. And not written on a book or a piece of paper that God has next to Himself, written on God Himself, so that He can never lose sight of your name. Written in a prominent place. Written in a place on God that God constantly sees, so that there is not a moment that you are forgotten by God. Not one day. Not one hour. Not one minute. Not one second. Never overlooked by God, never ignored by God, never forsaken by God, and never forgotten by God. Our names engraved on the palms of God's hand. Notice, beloved, a few more things about that whole idea of us being engraved on God's hand. The fact that we are engraved on the hands of God points out, first of all, in addition to the fact that God remembers us, this additional fact that we are precious to God. Where has God put our name? On the palms of His hand. And if you have something that is valuable, perhaps a diamond that someone gives you, then you don't just receive that diamond from someone and say, well, yeah, I'll just throw that in my back pocket or I'll just throw it on the shelf over there. No, you will hold that close in the palm of your hand because that's a very precious thing. And in the palms of your hand, that diamond is safe. There is no danger then of losing that precious object And so God says to us, I have put your names on the palms of my hand so that you might know as my people that you are a very valuable and precious people to me. I haven't put your names in a book somewhere else. I haven't put you on a piece of paper at a distance from me that then could get lost. But I have engraved your names on the palms of my hands because you are the objects of my love. You are my beloved people in Christ. And I am going to keep you in the safest possible place that you could be. On the palm of my almighty hand. And then also this, we are engraved there. When something is engraved, then it is permanent. Permanent. God has not simply written our names with ink that could fade or that could be washed off. And God has not written our names with raised letters that could be worn away over time. God has etched our names into His hand, carved as it were, if you want to make a comparison, carved into a hard piece of stone, something that cannot be changed, something that cannot be lost, something that cannot fade over time or wear away, but something that is permanent. When did God do that? When did God put our names on the palms of His hand? How permanent are they? Well, the fact that they are etched, engraved, and therefore permanent points us to the fact, beloved, that God put our names into the palms of His hands way back in eternity. In the decree of election is when our names were engraved into the palms of the hands of God. And that's indicated by the text too, where the text says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. God wasn't just doing this at the time that He told them about it, but God is telling them of something that He has done in the past with their name. And that is that in the decree of election, He has so chosen His people, chosen His church, and chosen all her members by name, that He put the names of the people of God already back there on the palms of His hand. Eternally put by God in a prominent place, because God saw us as His from eternity, and therefore eternally precious to the Lord God, eternally chosen by Him, and eternally His in Jesus Christ, His Son. Because that is true, then that also indicates to us what exactly God sees when God sees our names. When God sees your name and God sees my name engraved on the palms of His hand, and that the origin of that is God's decree of election of us in Christ, God does not see us as we are in ourselves. When God sees your name on His hands, He doesn't see you as an individual who is a terrible sinner. He doesn't look at the name of the church that is on His hand and right away say, ah, that's a sinful church. But he sees our names as they have been engraved on his hands as those who belong to him in Christ his Son. And therefore he sees us as those who are eternally redeemed in his Son and justified in his Son. He sees our names as beautiful people of God, cleansed from sin through the work of his Son and conformed again to the image of his Son. He sees us as a holy church, and he sees every member as a saint. Saint in and through Christ. He doesn't see the church as a gathering of depraved evildoers who are ugly because of sin. That's not what he thinks of when he sees our names on his hand. But he sees us in all the glorious beauty that we have because when he put our names on his hand, he put our names on there as those who belong to Christ, his Son. Beautiful people, saints, beloved, pleasing to the Lord. And now God says to us, let's not miss that, beloved, in our text. God says to us, behold. Very first word of our text, behold. That is, take a look. Take a look. It's as though God comes to us and he holds out his hands and says to us, take a look. Look at where your names are written. They're written on the palms of my hand. Behold that. And never forget it. He wants us to know what he sees. And he wants us to see what he sees as well. That he sees us always as the bride of Christ that is beautiful and glorious in his Son. And that he will never forget us because there we are, right before his very eyes. Every moment of time, if you can say that in relation to God. But that as regards our understanding of it. Always seen that way by the Lord God Almighty. And to reinforce that, God says this. Notice that in verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can a mother simply forget the child that she has had in her womb for many, many months and has given birth to? And God says there, yea, they may forget. They might do that sometimes, and that's a rare thing and a very strange thing. But then God says, but I will never do that. Never. I will always remember my people. Always remember. Never forgotten by Jehovah God. Zion is not only remembered by God, Zion is also protected by God. Notice that in the second part of our text, thy walls are continually before me. The walls of Jerusalem, the walls of Zion, were for Zion's protection. They surrounded Jerusalem. And those walls, God says, are a concern to him. That is, it is a concern to God, and it is a purpose of God, and it is a work of God to defend and to protect his Zion. God not only remembers his church as she lives in this world, but God also remembers to protect his church in this world. Church needs that. The people of God need that. We need that because there are many dangers that threaten to destroy the church and the people of God. Churches can be destroyed, as the prophet Hosea mentions, because of a lack of knowledge. Less and less interest in the truth of the Word of God, and more ignorance in the church. Destroyed for lack of knowledge. Churches can be in danger of being destroyed because sometimes there is unrest within the churches. Unrest because of certain teachings and some preaching. And therefore uncertainty among the people of God concerning what is the truth. What is the truth? And churches can be in danger of being destroyed, and the people of God in danger of being destroyed because there are weaknesses within the families of the church. Parents failing to teach their children, and a generation arising in the church that does not know the works of God and the mighty things that God has done because the children are not being instructed by the parents concerning those things. The church can be threatened because the members of the church are weak spiritually. And they are tempted, and they love the world and the pleasures of the world, and they stray from a godly life, and sin creeps into the church and weakens her. Or the church may be threatened because at times the believers sin against each other in the church and are in danger of devouring and destroying each other. Or the people of God are in danger of being destroyed because of the heavy hand of affliction that comes upon them. And their faith is tried. And they doubt. And they question the Lord's goodness to them. God says, I will protect my church. He protects the church that cannot protect itself. He defends the church that cannot defend itself. He provides almighty protection for the church. And that protection is also spoken of in the text because of where our names are engraved. We are in the palms of the hands of the Almighty God. Safe in His hand, because we are precious to Him in Christ His Son. God protects Zion, the church of the elect, and all her members. And that protection of God is a most blessed protection. because God protects us with regard to what matters most for Zion. What matters most for Zion, what matters most for the church and for the people of God is not their size and not their wealth in this world, not their success in life. What matters for the people of God and for Zion is not anything earthly. And what matters for Zion and for the people of God is not that their lot in life is very, very easy and very, very pleasant and very, very smooth for them. But what matters for Zion and what matters for the people of God is that she is saved by God. That she is safe and protected spiritually by God. And so when the text teaches us that God remembers Zion and protects Zion, the text is telling us God saves Zion. He saves her. For him to remember and to protect the church is for him to save the church. And God is busy doing that always and in all things. And so God protects the church by remembering to provide Zion the gospel for her comfort and for her salvation. Faithful preaching of the word of God that God provides for you here in this congregation of the people of God. Preaching that builds up, preaching that edifies, preaching that God uses through His Spirit to work faith in His people. He is protecting Zion through preaching. And He's also protecting Zion through sending His Holy Spirit into Zion and into the members of Zion. The Spirit that humbles the people of God and the Spirit that causes us to see our sin against the Holy God. And the Spirit who leads us to repent of that sin and to turn from that sin and to find forgiveness in Christ for our daily sin. And God is protecting Zion by forgiving Zion's sins and the sins of the members of Zion. That's all part of His glorious work of protecting and remembering Zion. Christ died. Christ paid the price for the forgiveness of the sins of the people of God. And now God sees to it that Zion experiences and receives that blessed forgiveness by means of the faithful preaching of the gospel applied by the Spirit. And God remembers, therefore, to clothe Zion in the righteousness of Jesus Christ so that Zion is the beautiful church in reality that God sees Zion to be in His eternal decree of election in Jesus Christ. He makes her beautiful according to His purpose that she be the beautiful body and bride of His Son. He remembers to prepare Zion for glory and all her members for glory, even through affliction. Through the trials and troubles of life. Everything in history, so that one day Zion and all her members are ready for the glory that awaits us in the house of many mansions in heaven. all part of God remembering and God protecting His beloved Zion. That's what God is doing. What God is doing in all of history. What God is doing in the life of every member of His beloved church, Zion. And it is very sure that God will do that. We mustn't doubt it. And we need not doubt it. And we need not doubt it, beloved, because of where our names are written. Our names are written on the palms of God's hand. And God tells us that with purpose. And God puts our names there on His hands to give us this clear understanding as His people that these names are on His hands because His hands are what He uses to do all things. He hasn't written our names on His forehead. That were those names. He hasn't written our names on His feet, because then He would not see them as much either. But He has written our names on the palms of His hands, because these are the hands with which He carries out all things in this world. And every time God goes to work, as God constantly works in this creation and constantly works in all of history, with whatever God does with His hands, and whenever God does it with His hands, what does God see? He sees your name and mine. Constant remembrance of us and a constant reminder to Himself, not that He needs reminding, of course, but for us to know that He remembers that He is doing all things with a view to the names written on His hair. And He cannot do anything without remembering us. Impossible. Our names are in full view when God uses His hands to do all His work. He carefully does everything for our salvation in Jesus Christ. He builds His church. He saves His elect. He beautifies the bride of Christ. He prepares His church for glory. And in all of it, we are never forgotten. We are, because of His grace, Christ, we are the focal point of all God's work in history for His glory and for our salvation. That gives great comfort to Zion, to the church, to the people of God. Old Testament Zion, the church of God to whom this word of God came, first of all, the nation of Judah needed that comfort. Notice in verse 14, Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Things were so bad for the nation of Judah, especially the word of God that was brought to them, the word of judgment concerning their captivity, that they sensed or felt that God had forgotten them. Where is our God? He seems to be far away from us. He seems to have deserted us as His church and people. And now He is leading us into captivity and will leave us to perish. Has God forgotten us and forsaken us, His beloved? That was the cry of the church and the faithful remnant of the people of God. And that is often the cry that we utter to God. That's how things can seem to Zion and her members today sometimes. That God has deserted us and that God is far away. Because there are all these sins that trouble the church. And there are wayward members in the church. And we have our own weaknesses and failures as well. And there is strife and there is disunity at times and disagreement within the church and churches. And the church seems to be but a remnant today. All but nothing and apparently forgotten and forsaken by God. And the individual believer in the midst of the burdens of life cries out, and the church cries out, has God forsaken us? Has God forgotten His church? Has God, as the psalmist said, forgotten to be kind to us? But the word of God is, Zion has comfort. And not only is the word of God that Zion has comfort, but the word of God in the context here in verse 13 is, Zion is comforted by God. The Lord has comforted His people. He has. The Lord speaks to us this morning. The Lord speaks with a voice mighty to instill great comfort in the souls of the troubled, distressed people of God. Comfort is not that Zion will not face and experience trouble. The comfort is not that everything will always go well for God's people in this world. The comfort is not that the church will be perfect and trouble-free. God never promises any of those things. Not in this life. But the comfort that God gives to Zion is, in the words of our text, you are engraved on my hand. And you are always remembered by me. And you are always protected by me. Always. Always, because I am Jehovah. I change not. And therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Comfort is that God does all His work in the world and in His church with Zion constantly before His eyes and in His mind. And does all His work for Zion's good. Zion, whom He loveth well. God remembers His church and His people. If God remembers, then who can hurt or harm or destroy you and me? If God protects His church and His people, who in all the universe can pluck us out of His hand? Impossible. Because our names are not simply sitting in the hands of God, but engraved there. No one can pluck us out of His hand. And if God, the God of His church and His people, is for her, who can be against her? No one. So we need not be anxious. God has all things determined and worked out for us, for our preservation, for our salvation, for our glory. Everything under His sovereign control. And He cannot forget Zion, because Zion is engraved in His hand. Zion is, you could say, part of God Himself. For God to forget Zion, for God to forget you and me, as our names are engraved in His hand, would be for God to forget Himself, which God cannot do. So may we believe this truth. Believe we are always safe. Our names engraved in the palm of our faithful God and Father in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks as Thou hast spoken Thy word to us this morning for our instruction, our comfort. Pleased, O Lord, to apply it by Thy Spirit to comfort our souls as those who belong to Christ, and who are precious to Thee in Him. In Jesus' name, Amen.